This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. We are led by our senior pastors, Jeff and Tracy Lamont. This week, we begin our series called God's Design for Marriage. It was recorded on February 23rd, 2020. It's our prayer that God will use it to begin and reveal something new in you. God bless.
Excited this morning because yes. You get to stay up here with me.
I do.
In your leopard coat. I love that.
With my glasses too. I get to read.
Are you available for a date later tonight? I'm loving that leopard coat. So somebody said, "Hey, you look like Amy Grant from Baby Baby." So
like the 80s, right? 80s and 90s. You
we're gonna anyway. We're gonna speak to you this morning, and I'm excited. I really am. Last week we just had like a mini honeymoon. It was awesome in Nicaragua. Having right. You there with me. First time in 22 years to have Tracy there. Just me and Tracy. It was really awesome, and we had a great time. We ministered in the national convention to about 200 pastors and spouses, and it was just amazing.
You see our
it was
matching
awesome.
Shirts.
Yeah, it was cool. We
did
were
not
cool.
do that on purpose, but then we kind of did because he did, so I didn't. So
on the back we had the what do you call that from the 80s where they did anyway, no, that joke fell flat.
Okay,
but anyway,
well, let's move on.
It was awesome. We had a great time, and we taught on marriage, and it made me think. You know what? Marriage is under attack. Mm-hmm. Marriage is precious to God's heart. Marriage is something that this church is always going to fight for. Mm-hmm. So this morning, we're going to talk to you a little bit about that very issue. In fact, for the next couple of weeks, we're going to do a little series, and I think you're going to be blessed by it. Hey, hon, I heard about a couple. They were sitting in their living room, this couple, okay? And they were sipping some wine, you know, kind of at the end of the evening. And out of the blue, the wife says, "I love you." And the husband says, "Is that you, honey, or the wine talking?" And the wife answers, "It's me," says the wife, "talking to the wine." Anyway. You know, honey.
That was not us, by the way.
A woman noticed her husband. He was standing on the bathroom scale, sucking in his stomach. I've done that before. I don't know how many of you guys have done that. And she looks and says, "Ha ha, honey, that's not going to help." And he said, "Well, sure it does. It's the only way I can see the numbers." Thank you for your courtesy laughter out there. We're going to talk about God's design for marriage. And in Nika, this was just so powerful. I think, quite honestly, honey, that it was the first time they'd seen a man and a woman teach on the subject.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was really, really powerful. One of the men came up to me and was doing this. He goes, "Pat Buckley, you're really giving it to us men today." So, guys, just buckle your seatbelts. You'll be okay. And one of the other guys said, "You're playing hard this morning, Pastor Jeff." But it was good. And I'll be honest, there for a while, for several years actually, I was hesitant to teach on marriage because, honestly, I knew we didn't have the perfect marriage. We've had our struggles, we've had our ups and downs, we've had challenges along the way. But one of the things that I've realized over time is that every single marriage takes work and intentionality. There is no perfect marriage out of the gate. So it takes work. You have to be committed to the process. And you know what? We've been committed to the process for how many years? I'm testing you.
32.
Ooh, good job, baby.
33 in December.
You got it. Put it there, honey. 32 years.
Yes.
And to be honest, in my heart, I hope you would say it's just gotten better and better.
Yeah. So. Yes, it has.
I even asked her this week, "Would you marry me again?"
Yes.
And she took a while. No, I'm just kidding. She said yes. Yes, you did.
Yes, I did. I did. Well, let me tell you, I think that, it's been hard at times. And life is hard at times. It's always about submitting to the Lord. It's always about resubmitting and really and truly dying to your flesh. And you know what? That isn't just about marriage. It's about relationships in general, isn't it? So wherever you are on your journey, if you got like, "Man, I've got this great marriage," that's great. This is for you. If you've got a marriage where you're like, "You know, I'm in one of those seasons," It's not so great, and it's hard, and we're struggling. That's okay, too. Mm-hmm. You're going to come away with some practical things and some hope for your marriage. If you're divorced, if you're single, you know what? There's some real practical things in here about relationships, about what God can help us do in relationships. It's all the same, guys. God puts us in relationships, and some are easier, some are harder than others. And so this is for you. So please don't close off and go, oh, great, they're talking about marriage again. We're going to focus on marriage, but there are some real good things in here.
Yeah, single, divorced.
Yeah.
You know, wherever you're at.
Yeah.
I mean, we really want to encourage you. Mm-hmm. If you're single and you're here, you know, there's no better time than to learn about, grow in the concepts of what makes for a healthy relationship.
Right, exactly.
So these aren't just marriage principles, they're relationship principles.
Right.
Because God meant marriage, I believe, to be the most, across the scope of our nation especially, you see that that's not what is happening. I'm here to tell you that the reason that marriage is suffering so greatly and in such a difficult place in the United States of America is we've strayed from biblical principles.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about God's design for marriage.
That's right. So in Genesis 2:21-25, it's here on the board. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man, and he said, woo! No. And Adam said, this is Tracy's translation. Okay. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed.
So these are God's first words about marriage. This is the beginning, the genesis of this institution we call marriage. Now, Matthew chapter 19, verse 6, these are some of Jesus' first words about marriage. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Now, one of the challenges that we're seeing happen in our world today with the shifting culture is some people are saying, you know, marriage is just a piece of paper.
Yeah.
That it's just, you know, it's just this civil ceremony. I have a pastor friend, even someone very dear to me, who his daughter is not walking with the Lord, and they've been through a very painful season, and she's announced to her mom and dad, who are faithful pastors, that she thinks that marriage is just an archaic, patriarchal institution that no longer needs to even be followed, and it's been heartbreaking to them. But I believe that marriage is much more than that.
See, God sees it in a different light. He sees it differently than the world does. God sees it very serious. He is the one that does it. It's a holy act of the Spirit of God.
That's right.
It is. It is the oldest institution, right? It's older than church, and it's older than the state.
That's right. When God looked on Adam, he said, it's not, of all the things that were good, there were all, everything he pronounced good, except one thing, and that was that Adam, it was not good to be alone. By the way, Glenn knows this, and those that have been a part of our worship team, I always like to kind of preview our worship songs here at New Song, because one of the things, we're very practical in the sense that I don't like to sing a lot of songs that are all I need is you, Jesus. Because in all honesty, Scripture teaches, and God ordained this, right, that you need relationships.
Yeah.
For your life to be healthy. Here, Adam is in the garden walking with God in the cool of day, and God looks down, and he had designed Adam to need the relationship of a wife. God designed the wife to need the relationship of a husband. So sometimes when we sing, you know, Jesus, you're all I need, well, yes, in a sense, but Jesus also made us to need one another, and this is really powerful in my opinion. Man was designed to need a wife. Woman was designed to need a husband. I know there are special people and special situations. Jesus and Paul would be two of them from Scripture where, quite honestly, there was a special grace upon their lives not to be married. And that was a grace from God. But generally, God designed man and woman for marriage. It's his design. I think it's literally embedded in your DNA. And, you know, but some people might say, but Pastor, I'm looking around at the world and marriage is just not working for so many. I mean, the number of people that are getting married, it's declining. The number of people that are getting divorced, it's increasing. Mm-hmm. But I got to tell you again, anytime you stray from God's principles, from God's purpose, from God's design for something, it's going to suffer greatly.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what has happened. Marriage is supposed to be the safest relationship on earth when you do it according to the master's blueprint. Most of you got one of these as you came in today, and you can tuck it in your Bible, keep it as an encouragement, or even give it away to somebody who needs to come in these next couple of weeks and hear about marriage.
That's right. That's right. But God doesn't create anything to harm us, guys. He always creates things to bless us. So he took two people and he made them into one. He's the only one that can do that. And then he created them, right, to flourish in their home and from their intimacy, because it's about intimacy. Intimacy with the Lord, intimacy with one another, and then from that intimacy comes children. And so there's the blessing of children and children in unity. We're meant to be raised in a godly home where the husband and the wife walk in unity.
Amen.
That's what God's plan is.
Yeah. So I really believe the destiny of your marriage can only be found in that place of unity.
Yeah.
That place of oneness. And and there have been times, I know, sweetheart, where you and I, where the enemy has tried. And when we look back, we can see just how intentional he was, how cunning, we'll use that word here in a moment, to try to divide us, to try to get us apart from one another, not on the same page. And we struggled greatly at times, but we learned along the way our marriage is always best. We're meant to be one when we are together.
That's right. When we walk in unity. And that's what God has intended us, to be unified. Now, the enemy, right, will work overtime to divide you. He will try to do that. He is the enemy of our souls. He is crafty and he is cunning. And he knows us. Now, he knows our weaknesses, and so then he takes advantage of us. You always remember in the Word where he tempted Jesus, but then when he left, he looked for more opportune time. So he's always looking like the lion, always looking for a way he can get into you, into your relationships, divide you, get you alone. And so what does Genesis say? Genesis 3:1 says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to woman," this is the enemy, "has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" It's that question.
I want to focus in on that word cunning for just a minute, because I think that's an important word, and one that maybe we skip over when we read this passage. Folks, the enemy's sneaky. Have you found that? He's crafty. He knows that opportune time. He's watching for it. He loves to find weakness. He loves to find a chink in the armor. He loves to find an open door, an opportunity. And oftentimes, to be honest, we don't even realize what the enemy's doing. We don't even realize that he's coming in to try to divide that which God desires to be unified. And, you know, just as God has a will or a design for your marriage, I got to just say this morning. The enemy also has a will or a design for your marriage.
Yep.
And that's to divide. Folks, you don't need to fear the devil, but you certainly need to be aware of him.
Yes.
You certainly need to be aware of his tactics. John 10:10 says he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So wherever that place, loss and destruction, you know the enemy's been at work in that place. So this morning I want us to look at four ways that the enemy is working, I think, to try to divide pretty much every marriage. Four things. So let's look at that this morning. The first is simply this, and maybe you've never thought about this, but I think the enemy would love to deceive us about the whole concept of love and marriage. And I think this happens, it's a pervasive thing, sweetheart, that I see happening in television, social media, Disney movies, you name it. If you're watching any kind of secular thing, this is going to be a message that you're going to get. And we're a really deceived society when it comes to love and marriage, when it comes to this. This past week, it's been an interesting thing. Don't judge me for this. But my son said, "Dad, have you ever seen the show The Bachelor?" I had to be honest with him. I said, "I have, but it's been like many, 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 many years ago that I saw that." And he said, Dad, I just keep getting asked by all my friends, are you watching The Bachelor? Are you watching The Bachelor? So I said, well, you know what? Let's just pull up an episode and watch it together. Boy, was that an interesting conversation opener.
Oh, yeah.
Believe you me, it was really interesting as these girls got out of the limousine and tried to come and persuade this man that they were the one. And some of them were just horrible.
Yeah.
Some of them were, quite honestly, outright raunchy in their approach and very, very, I'm not even going to use the word.
But
let me just say, there's a deception when it comes to love and marriage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the world's bought into it big time. Absolutely bought into it. Whenever we lose sight of God's word and its timeless wisdom, we just fall into deception.
We do.
And there's an attack against the Bible in our society. And here's kind of the pervasive myth, if I could kind of spell it out to you, that I'm addressing. Some would call it a romanticized view of life. Some would call it this. I would say it's this idea that's been perpetuated in our society that if you can just find your soulmate, and that term sounds so sexy and so cool. Oh, my soulmate. You know, if I can just find the soulmate or that knight in shining armor or that damsel in distress, then you know what? If I marry them, everything's going to go smooth. We're going to have the most wonderful relationship. I mean, we tend to believe we're just going to love each other so much that there will never be any problems. Everything's just going to work out for us. It's a Hollywood-inspired type of thinking.
Right.
Now, if you want to see how well that works, check out the headlines, right? Check out Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. You've been following that tragedy at all?
Yeah.
So Amber Heard comes out saying Johnny Depp abused her. Now Johnny Depp's turned around and said, no, Amber Heard's actually been beating on me. I mean, this is a Hollywood romance, right? This isn't about love, sacrifice, commitment. This is about lust, violence, pride, selfishness. And, you know, just look at the divorce rates in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. But marriage, according to God, is a covenant. Everybody say the word covenant.
Covenant.
Man, this is a powerful biblical word. You know, God could have made Eve out of the dust of the ground just like he made everything else. Mm-hmm. But he made her special. He made her out of a rib, I believe a spirit-filled rib, right out of Adam.
Yep.
And I believe it was because they're meant to be side by side, right? Mm-hmm. They're meant to be equal. But also, it's because there had to be bloodshed.
Yeah.
He couldn't have made her out of the dust of the earth because a covenant always requires a cutting, a blood, something sacrificial that's going to absolutely seal that covenant permanently. So he cut him open, removed a rib. Covenant means this. It means a permanent sacrificial relationship. And boy, have we ever gotten away from that understanding in the world we live in. Jesus says a man must leave his parents, the closest relationship he's had on this earth up until that time, and literally sacrifice by pulling away from that the parents, and then cleave to his wife. And that word cleave, that's not a word we use very common in today's world, but it's a word that denotes energy, work, effort. Marriage works when you are willing to work at it.
Yeah.
And when you're willing to sacrifice for it your whole life. That's when marriage works. And the devil will tell you, and he's constantly promoting this through Hollywood, other ways, the devil will tell you it shouldn't be this hard. Mm-hmm. The devil will tell you that, you know, love is a quick and easy thing. Listen, ultimately, the number one reason for divorce in America today, it's disappointment.
Yeah.
It didn't work out the way the person thought. And often that's because we've been sold from the very beginning a bill of goods, and our expectation was, quite honestly, our expectation was incorrect from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is wonderful, marriage is beautiful, but it takes ongoing work and effort. It's not just pie in the sky.
Right.
It's daily effort. Daily sowing, daily sacrificing. What you put into your marriage, you will get out of your marriage. Lots of couples come into their marriage with these dreams like star dust in their eyes. We're going to have that perfect destination wedding. We're going to get married on the beautiful beaches of Hawaii. It's going to be absolutely perfect. And And as we say, I do, an angelic choir of children will sing. And then as we kiss, thousands of white doves will be released. And it'll just wave a magic wand over our marriage, and it'll be perfect. And we'll live on love the rest of the days of our lives. Can I just say to you that marriage will challenge your Christianity,
yes,
your character, and even your sanity, folks.
Yes. It's very true.
If I'm speaking the truth, would you say amen?
Yeah, amen. Well, we all know that.
But we get these starry dreams in our eyes, and it's the expectation is just off. You have to sacrifice and work hard.
Yeah.
At marriage, if you do that, it's phenomenal.
Yes, that's right. So number two, what does the enemy? He divides us through selfish thinking. I am still, after 32 years, very selfish, I hate to admit. And every day it takes me coming in before the Lord and dying to my flesh. It's a hard thing. You think I'd have it down by now, but I don't. And that's why it's so important that we have our time with the Lord. You know, many times we want to talk about, well, I want my husband to change. If my husband will change, everything will just be better. But it's interesting how the Lord many times deals with me about my heart, about my selfishness, and about my hardness of heart. So marriage is not for selfish people. It just isn't. Marriage is about we-ism, not me-ism. You know, that's what happens. I want the way I want it. I want to feel comfortable. I need to feel loved, right? And so then we get mad if we don't, if our spouse doesn't do what we think they should do. So a single person says, I'm okay when I'm okay. But a married person says, I'm not okay until we're okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's about our marriage. It's about how we relate to one another. God didn't call us into a marriage so we could be married singles. You know, kind of doing right. Our own thing all the time. And then, well, that's your problem. That's not my problem. You've got that problem. It's not about me. It's just, you know, you're the problem. Mm-hmm. That's what happens a lot of times with the selfishness. Now, there's a new study that's out. I think it's really interesting. They talk about to the degree that you're empathetic is a degree that your marriage will succeed.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's interesting. Empathy. What is empathy? Empathy is wondering how your spouse is doing. Thinking about your spouse, thinking about, I wonder how it is for them on the other side of my tongue, on the other side of my needs.
Wow.
How does that affect them?
That's good.
We're thinking about them. That's empathy.
That's good.
Thinking about them. What about my actions? How is my actions affecting them? Mm. See, I'm so self-centered sometimes. I don't think about that. But that is a key to a healthy marriage, is empathy. You know, God can help us become more empathetic, and we can pray, God, help me. Help me to be more empathetic toward my spouse. I need to do that. I'm not very good at that. So Genesis 3:4-6, and the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. He's calling God a liar. Hello. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and she ate it, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Now notice what happens here. So the devil comes to her, to Eve, by herself. This is his tactic. He's going to come to you by yourself. He's going to start kind of accusing the Lord, or accusing your spouse. That's what he does. He likes to deceive us, and we're more vulnerable when we're by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't come to both of them together, right? He comes to her when she's by herself. And he makes her think of your eyes, you know, your eyes will be open. You'll be wise. So she's thinking of who? Mm-hmm. Herself.
Mm-hmm.
Herself. I'm inward thinking. Well, I want to be wise. I don't want somebody to pull something over on me. You see that subtle where the enemy comes in? And he knows exactly how to separate us.
Mm.
He really does. Well, the enemy wants to infect us with selfish thinking. Okay? And so we're not going to be successful in any relationship, guys, when we're selfish. And this isn't just in marriage. This is in any relationship.
That's
it's
right.
With our families, our kids. Our,
right.
You know, God wants us to be empathetic, and he wants us to be servants.
Right.
How do we serve one another? How are we become empathetic with our relationships around us? Hmm. You know what? He's going to help us if we ask him and we invite him in.
Mm-hmm. Third way the enemy tries to divide a marriage, divide a relationship is, and this one's rampant in our society today. He loves to distract us through things like greed, lust, and comparison. I mean, we have this, right, to thank for that. The incredible increase that's happened in our society. In Mark chapter 4, verses 18 through 20, Jesus says this. Now, these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. Now, it's interesting, right, the word thorns. Thorns really represent in this passage, right, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things. Probably you found this. If you're married here today, you found that you know, there was a lot of excitement leading up to the wedding, a lot of planning, a lot of preparation, and excitement on that wedding day. But after the marriage, after the honeymoon, after a year or two, other things started to try to press in. Other things started to try to take priority over that relationship, which should be the closest, most unified relationship on the face of the earth. And let me just tell you, money can be a blessing, or money can become a master for us.
Yes.
And money can be, quite honestly, a very cruel taskmaster. The more money you have, the more you have to manage it.
Yep.
The more things you probably have, which means the more you have to pour time and attention into those things. Mm-hmm. Very interesting, right? The debate this past week with Michael Bloomberg and the Democrats coming at him because he has a lot of money and 40 non-disclosure agreements that he signed over the years to get people not to talk about his situation. Listen, some of you right here, you're thinking, man, the answer to all my problems in life would be more money, more money, more money. Can I just tell you that maybe the answer to the biggest problems is a simple life, is not focusing so much on money, is not pouring into that. Listen what Proverbs 10:22 says, and I love this passage. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, or makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. I love that passage. You know what that basically is saying? It's basically saying that God's blessings won't cost you your relationship with God. God's blessings won't cost you your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your family. They just bless you. God's blessings just bless you. They make your life better in every way.
Yeah.
But sometimes the things we chase after in this world end up costing us much more than they're worth.
Yeah.
Psalm 127 verse 2 says this, it's in vain that you rise up early to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep.
Okay.
You know what? God's blessings are even better than hard work, folks.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, I'm not saying hard work's not important. It is absolutely important. But God knows how to take care of you so that you don't spend all of your time pursuing after something that's actually going to cost you in the end,
right,
the most precious relationship in your life.
Right. Remember, we're talking about things that destroy our intimacy. So number four is unresolved anger. Unresolved anger. Now, I chose this when we were talking last night about who's going to do what points, and I said, I need that one. Because that's something in my life that I have dealt with and continually deal with. Maybe because Enneagram, I'm a 9, and 9s don't like conflict at all, and so we stuff everything and act like everything is fine. But that's really and truly a denial. And it comes out, as we know, anger comes out sideways, right? If it's not properly dealt with, it comes out sideways. So I love this scripture, Ephesians 4, 26 through 27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, 27, nor give place to the devil. Wow, there's something about that, isn't there?
Yes.
Now, there's a healthy anger. Anger can be a healthy emotion. God gets angry, so it's okay to be angry. But it's about not sinning. Mm-hmm. Now, healthy families make mm-hmm. a place for anger, right? Mm-hmm. To talk about it, to get through it. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. God wants us to deal with today's anger, not anger from 3 weeks ago, not anger from a year ago. Not guys, if or ladies, if you are still talking about when you first got married, you know, we're 32 years in, and I'm talking about, well, you were like this when we first got married 32 years later, which I know, believe me, that we can have those conversations, and we're still as angry as we used to be, that's an indication there's unresolved anger going on. Also, unresolved anger and unhealthy anger, if there's cussing going on, if there's name calling, if we're throwing things, if we're hitting each other, that's another indication. That's unresolved anger. Mm. We need that dealt with. That's destructive and that's unacceptable.
Right.
It's unacceptable. Right. So we need to deal with that if that's happening. So God doesn't want us to go to bed angry. Mm. What does that mean? That means you go to bed angry. That means you don't deal with what's made you angry, right? So remember, the enemy is cunning. He's always looking for an opportunity to get between you, to cause that division. So what happens when you go to bed angry? You get counseled by the enemy all night long. I have dreams. I mean, I'm running over my husband with a car. No, not really.
Ouch.
Yeah, no, man.
Wow.
He didn't know I was going to say that. But
tell me about that one.
Yeah.
Wow.
That slipped out. No, I'm just kidding. But honestly, the enemy deals with us, right, all night long. All night, he's telling us things. Well, you know, you married the wrong person. You should have listened to so-and-so. They told you that you should marry him. I mean, all the things, you know, he's a jerk or she's a jerk. She's so insensitive. You know, all the, let me ask you a question. Is that the Holy Spirit? No. But why do we listen to it? Why? Because we're mad. Because we're hurt. We're angry. And so what we're doing is we're opening ourselves up, guys, to the voice of the enemy. I mean, you know, if you do that all night long, you get up, are you going to want to kiss your husband or wife? No, you might want to hit them. Mm. You know, you certainly don't want to live with them anymore. Mm. So we need to be really careful about what is going on. He is the accuser, remember. That's his job. Steal, kill, and destroy. I'm going to accuse God to you. I'm going to accuse you, and I'm going to accuse your spouse. Or here's this, if you're not married, I'm going to accuse your friends. I'm going to accuse your daughter and your sons. I'm telling you, there is spiritual warfare. I mean, the enemy knows my button. He does. And so, I don't know, something will happen. I'll get irritated and the enemy will come in. I'll be washing the dishes. Well, you know, he'll tell me something. I'm like, yeah, yeah, you know, here I am. And all of a sudden I have to go, no. In the name of Jesus, I know what this is. I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. I love my husband. He is a gift from God. God is still working
amen.
In him. And here's
amen.
What I do. I bless.
Oh, sorry, honey. Just amening.
I know. Okay.
Just amening, baby. Just amening.
We throw each other off. Anyway, so, you know, and I'll say things like, and this is really gets the enemy. I'm like, you know what? I love my husband. I'm thankful for my husband. I bless my husband in Jesus' name. I bless my husband in Jesus' name. I will speak words of blessing over my husband. I will speak words of blessing over my children. I will speak words of blessing over my friends. You see what I'm saying? There's spiritual warfare. You have to recognize the enemy. He will get you at your weakest. And I know this is hard, ladies, and I know, I've done this through tears. This is not an easy place, but that's why the enemy is fighting so hard. See, he doesn't just want your marriage, he wants your children. He wants your grandchildren. He wants your life. He wants the people who you influence for Christ, he wants them too. See, he never just wants what's right in front of you. He always wants more. So you have to fight him, and we have to recognize that. I think I've covered it.
So I want to turn now. Yeah, you did good, baby.
Okay.
You did good, especially that point about your husband being
I
a blessing
you would
from
love
the
that.
Lord. That was really good.
I need to
really
pick out where we're going to go to lunch.
Okay, baby, okay. You got it after that. 4 keys for unity. So we've talked about 4 ways the enemy tries to divide. Let's talk about 4 keys for unity quickly.
Yes.
Number one, this is most important always. Christian couples, let me just tell you, you got to surrender to the lordship of Jesus together.
Yeah.
Together. One of the things that brought us together was our heart and our passion for God. and our desire to serve him, our desire to make a difference for him with our lives. When you have two unsubmitted people, unsubmitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, let me just tell you, it's going to be like a head-butting session.
Right here.
And I just thought about these two bighorn rams that they get back and they come running at one another. If you've ever seen the video, I mean, it's bam, you can hear that clash of those horns. That's what a marriage looks like, quite honestly, when one or both are not submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. Because here's what happens. When you're not submitted to God's will, you're fighting for your will.
Yeah.
And it becomes a contest of wills. And it's going to be who can outdo the other.
Right.
So I just want to ask you that question this morning. Are you submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? It's not about your will being done. It's about God's will being done through your life and in your relationship.
That's right. You know, the Lord is the Lord over our finances. So we don't fight about finances. We go together with the Lord. What do you want us to do with this? What is your plan for our finances? He's the Lord over our family, over our children, you know, over where we live, you know, where our kids would go to school if we were homeschooling, that kind of thing. He is Lord. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when an issue comes up, it's not about, here's the thing, ladies, I can manipulate. We all know how to do that. We can get our own way. Right? We can manipulate. We can do whatever we do to get our own way. Mm. Even if he was not in agreement. But, you know, I know how to work it because I'm a, you know, I'm a woman and I'm older. So I know how to do this, right? Okay, here's the thing. I may win that, but you're losing the intimacy.
Right.
On the back end, you're going to lose something much more than what you think you just won.
Right.
And that is so not worth it. It's so not worth it. So Jesus is Lord, right? A submission to him.
One of the things we teach here at New Song, and this is foundational, is that you really have one decision to make in your life. And that is, will Jesus be the Lord of your life? Mm-hmm. From there, once you've made that decision, everything else is a determination. Is this God's will for my life? Mm-hmm. That vacation we're thinking about, is it God's will? That financial decision, is it God's will?
Right.
So it leads us really to our next point. Mm-hmm. Make all important decisions together.
Right.
Respect each other.
Yeah.
Respect each other. This is so very important. I have learned, folks, and sometimes you learn these lessons really the hard way. But I'm not going to make a major decision without this woman by my side, praying with me, us consulting, counseling, seeking the Lord together, probably even bringing in some other folks just to make sure that we're hearing rightly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to browbeat. I'm not going to manipulate. I'm not going to hide. I'm not going to go do an end run around her. But here, listen, for that to work, here's the ground rules. Nobody pays a price.
Yeah.
If I say to you, honey, here's what I'm really thinking about, really praying about, and you don't agree with it, I can't then turn around and be vindictive towards you. Because let me tell you, guys or gals, the moment that happens is the moment honesty breaks down.
Yes.
Communication breaks down.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot have a price to pay. You have to be able to share honestly in marriage. There needs to be safety and security to share what we're sensing, what we're feeling from God without fear of reprisal in any way. When we walk together, let me tell you, that's the best way, and that's the way God intended it.
That's right. That's right. And number three, we pray together. We've been praying together since we were married. Our prayers have changed some, which is really interesting. I think as we've gotten older and we've realized a huge need for Christ, which, you know, you always do when you're younger. But I think as we've gotten older, our prayers have been more raw and more real. It's like, you know what, I don't know if a day goes by when we're sitting and praying with each other. Usually on Saturdays we have a more of an extensive time of prayer together. But lots of tears, lots of being able to be real with God, with one another. That's powerful. I used to kind of be a hider, as you all know. So I would say my prayers, the ones that were safe, but I didn't really always want my husband to hear my broken heart or my disappointment or whatever. And I understand maybe there are times for that too, but I'm just saying you should, when you pray with your spouse, they should be real. Amen. You know, that type, not these, you know, prayers that we can pray and Lord bless our food, Jesus, amen. You know, that type of thing. But really, truly praying each other's hearts. I'm telling you, you can be very empathetic to a spouse when you hear them saying, oh God, please help me be a good husband. Help me, Lord. I am selfish. I want to be a better wife. I want to be a better mother. See, there's that empathy that you need. But we have to be willing. And this is one of the hardest things, guys, in relationships is to be vulnerable. And I'm telling you, I really believe it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can be vulnerable. Because I'm also very prideful. And I always like to look good. And it's really hard when I don't. So we pray together. And we really pray. Something else I think is really important, Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, yes, which surrounds us, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, through Christ Jesus. You know what? One of the things that ruins marriages is stress.
Right.
Stress. Can you say amen? Stress.
Yes.
Stress. It makes this, it emotionally help. It just pushes us down. So we don't have anything left for our marriages, right? Emotionally, right? Because we have stress. But the Lord said to pray. I mean, really pray. Give those things to the Lord. Because here's the thing, you're going to worry. And so instead of worrying, let's pray about the things we're worried for. Right? And so what the Lord says, he's going to have a garrison. There's a military troop.
Right.
As we pray to the Lord and we give him those things, there's that military, the angels of the Lord surround us. And then we don't have to worry anymore. We don't have to be filled with anxiety. Well, how do you know how long to pray? Pray until you have peace. Pray until you have peace. Don't let stress eat your lunch. It's really difficult to be able, when you're full of stress and you're all wound up, it's hard to walk in the Spirit. I mean, you're just, you know, oh my gosh, you know, and if somebody gets out of line, you just take their head off. Well, it's because you're so stressed out, because you're so worried and full of all these things. And so God wants us to give him those things in prayer together so he can help us walk in peace.
You know, it's interesting. You hear the statistics sometimes thrown out there that 50% of couples in the church get divorced about the same rate as couples in the world.
Yeah.
Can I just tell you that statistic's really misleading, because we're not talking about couples that pray together.
Right.
In fact, when you look at that statistic, which there have been some pretty big studies done on this, the divorce rate of couples that pray together, and we've prayed together every day that we were together for 32 years. We have those special times on Saturday, but we pray together every day. That level of divorce is less than 1%. Less than 1%. Isn't that amazing? Let me just tell you, folks, couples, married couples, you got to join hands and pray over your needs together.
Yeah.
It will make every area of your life better, including your sex life. And some of you just woke up as soon as I said that.
Yeah.
You're just like, what did he say? What did he say?
What's he talking about?
Just was seeing, making sure everybody's paying attention. It'll make every area of your life better when you pray together. Whatever's causing you stress, that's what you need to take to God together.
Yeah.
And then lastly, is our last point today, is you need to be together physically. And for those of you that woke up, you'll like this point. This is so important. Intimacy with a husband and wife is so important. Be close. Be intimate. Flirt. Have sex. Be together. Make time for each other. Work is important, but it's not as important as your marriage. Work is important, guys, but it's not as important as your marriage. What are you going to cheat? Andy Stanley has a great book I forget the exact title. Who are you going to cheat? And he basically says, you know, when we give too much time in one area, we cheat another area of our life. When you spend all the time at work, giving your best hours at work, and you give very little to your marriage, you're cheating your marriage. Hobbies are important. Working out is important. Diet and exercise is important. Hanging out with friends is important. But none of those things are as important as your marriage. Make time for each other. Have sex. Oh, did I mention that before? Hang out together. Go on dates.
Yeah. You know, what's important too, I think, is, you know, whatever stage you're in, you know, you first get married, find those things, those hobbies, those things that you like that you can do together. Just be together. Go out to lunch together. Find that time together. When you have small children, then it looks different. Find that time together. How do we now navigate this? After children, you know, we're almost empty nesters. And, you know, you find that time. How can we do this now? See, it's an ongoing process, just a dull routine. Do something shocking. I don't know. Do something fun. So
here's what I want us to do as we close today. I want us all to make a decision. Okay, if you're married here in the house or, you know, you're hoping to be married, you have been married and you're hoping that the Lord will bless you with that opportunity again, let's make a decision today. Let's make a decision before the Lord that we're not going to have mediocre marriages.
Right.
That instead we're going to have marriages that shine forth the glory of God to the world around us. I believe this is a huge need in the world we're living in, church. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Would you stand with me as we close today? And honey, I want us both to pray. I'm going to pray and then I'm going to have you pray as we close today. And if you're here with your spouse, would you just join their hand? Would you join their hand, please? So Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name against a spirit of divorce.
Yes.
Against a spirit of division, against the lies of the enemy, against anything that would try to divide these precious couples that you have called together and cut covenant together with. And Lord, I ask today for a blessing from the hand of God upon each of these marriages. Such a blessing, Lord, that it will shine forth to the world around them, that other people will see and even ask, even inquire, what is it about your marriage that makes it so different? Because you guys seem so happy, so fulfilled, so blessed. God, let your hand of blessing be upon every marriage here, every single person, every young person, every person desiring to be married.
Yes.
Married. Lord, I pray blessing on them. I pray for the right timing, the right person, that, Lord, you'll bring that about in your plan, in Jesus' name.
Yes. And Father, I just pray you'd help us, God. Help us. You are so for us.
Yes.
You can show us how to walk in our marriages. You can show us how to walk in our relationships. God, help us to be more empathetic. Mm. Help us to be more a servant to other people, to walk in lordship under you, asking you, Lord, how can I love those around me today better? How can I best glorify you, Lord, as I'm walking this out? Mm. Lord, I pray for your blessing, peace. Mm. And of just encouragement over everyone here, Lord, that you love them, that you are for them. Mm. That, God, we can't do things in our own strength. Mm. But, God, as we lean into you, as we surrender to you, as we say, God, I don't know what to do, you can show us what we need to do.
Yes.
I thank you, God, for your power and for your strength. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.